message. Well, today is Mother's Day, and I thought it would be fun to start with some fun stuff, a little bit of laughter. I hope I'll get you laughing here, and then I'll get into the serious stuff. But they interviewed some kids, and you really got to watch it when that happens. Amen? Right? Would you want your kids answering the questions I'm about to ask? All right. So I'm gonna read these. These are so good. We'll have a little bit of fun with this about moms. So they asked some little kids these questions. Here's the first one. Why did God make moms? Here was their answers, a couple different answers. She's the only one who knows where the scotch tape is. Secondly, and I gotta read this one carefully, to help us out of there when we were getting born. Yeah, that's good, right? How did God make mothers? Here's some answers. He used dirt, just like for the rest of us. Magic plus superpowers and a lot of stirring. At first, I thought that said string, but it's stirring, all right? God made my mom just the same like he made me. He just used bigger parts. All right, what ingredients are mothers made of? God makes mothers out of clouds and angel hair and everything nice in the world and one dab of mean. See, I was really worried about some of these, and I thought, should I even say this? But all right, you're with me. There's some other ones I might have left out if you didn't laugh, but I won't. All right. Why did God give you your mother and not some other mom? Basically, duh, because we're related. All right. What kind of little girl was your mom? So what was she like as a little girl? My mom has always been my mom and none of that other stuff. Like, I don't even know what you're talking about. Second one. I don't know because I wasn't there, but my guess would be pretty bossy. Isn't that good? Yes, yes, good. All right. What did mom need to know about dad before she married him? Here's some answers. His last name. She had to know his background. Like, is he a crook? Does he get drunk on beer a lot? This one's good. She needed to know, pay attention. Does he make at least $800 a year? So young ladies or whoever, if you're not married yet, be sure you check and make sure he makes at least $800 a year. All right, who's the boss at your house? You know this is going to be good, right? Mom doesn't want to be boss, but she has to because dad's such a goofball. Can I get an amen to that? I told the early service, if my wife was here, and she is now, that's the first one I think she's clapped for because she's like, know all about that one. Oh, I guess mom is, but only because she has a lot more to do than dad. All right, what's the difference between moms and dads? There's such truth in some of these. Moms work at work and work at home, and dads just go to work at work. Some amens from the ladies there. All right. Moms have magic. They make you feel better without medicine. I knew. Oh, Sam. What does your mom do in her spare time? Moms don't do spare time. Right? Yeah. What would it take to make your mom perfect? This is one I might have left out, but since you laughed. On the inside, she's already perfect. Outside, I think some kind of plastic surgery. All right, last one. All right, then we got to get serious. If you could change one thing about your mom, what would it be? Number one, she has this weird thing about me keeping my room clean. I'd get rid of that. And secondly, we all know this one, I would like for her to get rid of those invisible eyes on the back of her head. All right, hey, we love you moms. Don't we love the moms in our church community? Well, listen, as we gather here today, I want to give you a word of acknowledgement because we're already kind of having fun with this. Hey, first of all, we got lots of folks coming in. If you're seated, you're going to hate me for this. If you're seated on the outside and there's seats in the middle, please move in, and I'm going to watch you do it before I move on or no sermon for you, all right? We got people that need seats, so let's help them out. And by the way, there's a whole front row here. That's always the case. Thank y'all for that so much. Really appreciate it. But a word of acknowledgement. So listen, as we gather here on a day like this, I recognize that not everybody is celebrating, not everything is right fun, and some of you are struggling because you might go, you know, I don't really celebrate Mother's Day, and there's various reasons. Maybe some of you come in this place today and Mother's Day is tough for you. And there's a number of reasons for it. Maybe you're a young person here, a young couple, and you want to be a mom. It was always your dream to be so, but for whatever reason, health reason, something, it hasn't happened for you. I acknowledge that, and we want you to know we love you, we're praying for you, and what I'm going to talk about today still applies to you as well. Maybe you're here today and you lost mom in this past year, or maybe you struggle with a relationship with your mother. Maybe you're adopted here and you always have that struggle of, you know, birth mom, whatever that was like. I mean, there's just various reasons we come into this place today and struggle. I want you to know, I acknowledge that, we acknowledge that. I want to share with you today and say to you that everything I'm going to talk about today applies to you as well. But I also want to talk especially to the moms in our church community. It's very important to do so. We need not neglect that as we gather here on this day. So everything is for all of us. Guys, you might feel for a while like this is not for you. It is for you. Lean in, listen, because what we're going to say today is what we need to be saying to the women in our lives. All right, so I want to share with you some things. And kids, this is important for you to hear as well. So I'm going to be speaking to the moms. I'm going to be speaking to all the women of our church community. And I want the guys and the kids to lean in and overhear this as well. Does that make sense? All right, if I could think of one thing to share with moms and women on a day like this, here is the word I would come up with. The word is encouragement. I just want to encourage you. I want to spend a few moments doing that because I think it's important to stop, to pause for a few moments and encourage women, encourage the moms especially in our church community. And so the way I'm going to do that is I'm going to use a psalm from the Old Testament that I want you to make personal. All right, so women in our church, moms in our church, listen, I want you, when I'm reading this psalm, to think like you wrote it, all right? I want you to identify with the word I. When it says I want you to be thinking of yourself. I know that's hard for you moms to do, to think of yourself. Think of yourself, okay? When it says me, think of yourself. With this, make this personal. It's really important that you do so if you want to gain that or have that encouragement that we're going to talk about today. So I'm going to read almost all of Psalm 139, and this is a psalm many of you have heard before. If you're a church person, you may not recognize that you heard this, but I'll get into parts of it that you go, oh, I've heard that before. If you're not a church person, not a Christian, I'm glad you're here today. I pray that this encourages you as well. But I want to start with Psalm 139, make it personal. All right, here we go. It says this, O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. I don't know if that gets you encouraged right when we start, because what this is saying is God knows everything, moms. He has eyes in the back of his head too, amen? And he sees and knows everything. You know when I sit down or when I stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. Maybe you don't do much of that second one, but resting at home. You know everything I do. All right. Y'all, you might be going, how is this going to be encouraging? I'll get there. Because you're like, if he knows everything, this is not good. Like you said, you're going to encourage us. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. Whether it's good or bad, he knows you're going to say it. You go before me and follow me. I mean, he's in front of you and behind you at the same time. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Now, there's a bit of encouragement. It's sprinkled in there. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence, even if you feel, you know, sometimes how you want to get away from your kids or your husband or just somebody, right? You can never get away from God. He's always there. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. God's everywhere. If I ride the wings of the morning, I don't know if any of y'all did that this morning, but if you did, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, try to get away, you're there. So the next part I'm going to share with you, I want you to know I added to the scripture. I asked God if that was okay, and he was cool with it. Are you? Because I wanted to make this real for the moms and women of our church community today, and so I wanted to think of some situations that, you know, how many of you rode the wings of the morning? It's kind of ethereal out there, right? But maybe some of these things. Check this out. If, let's go on to the next screen. Is it coming? If I'm getting the kids ready in the chaos of the morning, y'all got me there? Y'all with me, moms, now? If I'm stuck in the car line at school, can I get an amen? If I'm running behind and come screeching into the parking lot at work, right? If I'm volunteering here or there or for this or that, if I'm trying to find the energy to go on a date with my husband, I wanted to say some other things too, but I knew there'd be some young ears in here. So the energy, are you with me? All right. Let's just be real. If I'm trying to have a moment of quiet while the kids beat on the bedroom door, you know, that moment of quiet you're trying. If I'm struggling with my self-image, if I lose my cool and say something I didn't want to say, if I'm trying to get them to just brush their teeth before bed, and if I ride the wings of the morning, right? All right, so you get it, right? In all of those places, God is there. And the next part says, even there in all of those places, your hand guides me, your strength supports me. So that's encouragement. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. All right, so as I read this, and we're going to read more in a moment, but I wasn't sure you would feel encouraged by this. Again, it's sprinkled in there. But basically what this is saying is God sees it all, moms, ladies. Every thought you have, God knows. Everything you've said, God knows. Those difficult moments, God knows. When you're struggling with yourself and nobody else knows it, God knows. When you're not the mom you wanted to be, when you have regrets about that, when you make mistakes, God sees all that. He knows all that. And so the first part of this psalm basically says this to us. God knows everything about me. God sees everything I do. And God is with me everywhere I go. All the everys. I'm not sure we realize that because I think because we can escape from other people and we can go and shut the door, we can try to get away or we can be away from people physically, it's not true with God. He is always there. So he knows everything about me, everything. Things that other people don't know, moms, God knows. He sees everything you do, and he is with you everywhere you go. Even when you make those mistakes, even when you feel awful about yourself. But I needed to set this up because it's so important to understand that that's who God is. And though it doesn't feel like encouragement yet, this next part of the psalm is where the encouragement really comes from. And when the writer of the psalm was writing this, he wanted to be sure that we knew that God is everywhere. He sees all things. He knows every little thing about you. And if I were to remind you of some things, once in a while, I think of some of the things from my past and they haunt me. Has that ever happened to you? I struggle with stuff. And if I were to think too long about myself, I'm not sure I would feel good. I think I would feel bad. So God knows that about all of us, but again, I'm especially talking to the moms and to the women of our church, but the next part of the psalm is where the encouragement comes from. I think most of us would put ourselves in this. You're like, yeah, I get it. I'm bad sometimes. My thoughts are bad. I struggle. I identify with that part of the psalm. Well, I ask you to, too, identify with this next part of the psalm. It's so important. This is the part that most of us have heard before if we've been in church or maybe even just seen on social media or something like that. And we usually apply this next part to children, like when a baby's born or something like that. But today I want to flip that, and I want you to apply it to yourself. I want you to think that this is you. And so I want you to still say I and identify with the me parts of this psalm. Here's what it says. This is the next line. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body. So when you're struggling with yourself, God is saying, I made all of you. And you knit me together in my mother's womb. This is you, moms. He knit you together in your mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Again, we always apply this to kids and babies. We give out onesies at our church to babies. Some of you have gotten these, and they say, I am wonderfully made. It comes from this. And it's true about babies, but I want to flip that today on the mamas and say, you are wonderfully made. This is what it says. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. And that goes back to that other part where you go, yeah, he knows everything about you. But this next part, I'm going to highlight, and I really want you to hear this, moms. You still have to identify with this, ladies. Please identify with this next part. It says this, how precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And there's a little bit more that the psalm says, but I want to stop here because this really highlights what I want to be sure that we get today, which is where the encouragement comes from. The psalm writer is saying this, God made you. Moms, he made you, everything about you, and he made you, listen to this, because I don't think you believe this so often, he made you exactly how he wanted you to be. That's so hard to believe, isn't it? It's so easy for somebody to say that, but as I sit here, as I hear from you, as I talk with you, as I, you know, gain the pulse of a community here at our church, I understand that lots of us struggle with ourselves and self-image and who we are. And, you know, I was even at this conference last week. I told you all that Sean and I went on a marriage retreat personally just for us. And one of the things that really hit me there was when they were talking about ministry and how we compare ourselves to other people. And so what I do is compare myself to other preachers and I try to be like other preachers. Oh, that preacher is better than me. I want to be like that preacher, right? And that's what women, you guys, so often do. You know, because you're looking on social media, and y'all know that that's filtered, right? Like, nobody's like that. Nobody puts up the bad stuff. Some of you do. Praise God for you, right? But all right, if you're going to put up the good stuff, put up the bad stuff. Can I get an amen to that? Don't just show us what you ate for dinner last night. Show us that you went to McDonald's also and you got one of them nasty-looking hamburgers. Nobody ever puts that up. It's green beans with almond sauce and blah, blah, blah. And yeah, right? I'm just playing around, but that's often what happens is we begin to believe that that really is real for some people and that everything's perfect and she's the perfect mom and I'm not. And so I had to go, you know what? I'm me. I've got to be the preacher I am and stop trying to be like other people. And I think that's too a word for moms and women in our church community, for all of us. But y'all, he made you how he made you and he loves you the way you are and you don't have to be like somebody else. What would it look like if you were just you? What if you just kind of accepted yourself for who you are? Because God does, and he wants us to as well. I love that it says that his thoughts about you, moms, are precious. They can't be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. Let me ask you something. How much sand do you think is on this earth? Grains. What if I gave you an assignment? Go count it. Would you come back with a few dozen grains? No. What would you say? There's no number for it, right? I went out and just got a little bit of sand off our property, just a little. Every one of these grains of sand, don't worry, we're not doing communion today. You're like, he's going to serve me communion with them dirty fingers. But y'all seeing this? Every grain of sand is a thought that God has about you, ladies. And every one of them are precious. That's what it says. It doesn't say sprinkle with some bad thoughts. And I think we struggle to believe this because what happens? In our culture, we receive good thoughts and bad thoughts. People say good things and bad things. Maybe you say, well, my husband needs to be more like God. Amen. Amen, he does. And he needs to say those things as well. Other people need to say those things as well. By the way, this is just a good way to live for all of us. This is why I said, guys, lean in. You need to be having precious thoughts about your wife or the woman in your life. However, you need to have those kinds of thoughts so that you then say those kinds of things. Kids as well. I know that we make mistakes and we don't do this perfectly. Nobody in this room does this perfectly. I certainly do not. But God's thoughts about you are precious, and he thinks them constantly. They outnumber the grains of sand on this earth. I mean, y'all, if he just thought these thoughts in this vase about you, it would be enough for the rest of your life. Yet it says they outnumber the grains of sand, not in a small container, but of this earth. This is the way God thinks about you. And so I divided the psalm in half because I think there's a natural part where you kind of have the first part of the psalm and the things we talked about, and then the second part of the psalm and what we're talking about right now. And if I had to summarize this psalm, here is what I would say it says to you. And I want you to think about this. And ladies, please hear this. This is the encouragement. This, what I'm about to say, can change your life. And even, listen, young women in the room who aren't even married, don't have kids, that's not, listen to what I'm about to say. This is so important, and I believe this is the word of encouragement that God would have for you today. First of all, God knows me more than anyone knows me. Did you catch that? And that's the part where we go, well, geez, if he knows all that, what if some... Because in this world, what happens when somebody gets to know you more and more and more and more, what usually happens? They start to go, shouldn't be that way, but it is very often. God knows me. He knows you more than anyone knows me. And I highlight the and, God loves me more than anyone loves me. Your life would be radically different if you believed that. All of you, doesn't matter, men, women, moms, dads, whoever you are, single, it doesn't matter. But especially today, I wanted the women of our church to hear this, especially the moms, that God knows you more than anyone knows you, and God loves you more than anyone loves you. And I didn't say in spite of. You get that? That's not the way it works with God. He doesn't go, well, I'm God. That book I sent down there says I have to do it. I mean, this is kind of the way we think of God. We have a very messed up view of God. So I hope that this sinks in. I hope it settles in. I hope that you believe these things. But this week, as I was preparing for this, I was like, I really want to drive this home, God. I really want people to understand this. And I don't think we quite get it. In fact, I think as I say this, you're sitting there going, I like that. I wish I believed that. But it's still not real to a lot of you moms and women in our church community. And so I wanted to share kind of with you something personal. My oldest daughter, Morgan, is graduating. Some of you have some graduates. Since I'm the preacher, I get to put a picture of her up here because, you know. This is one of her senior pictures. We just got these done, and they're just amazing. And I asked her permission, by the way. Some of you are like, you ask her? I did. She did say, which one are you putting on? But she doesn't know this. I downloaded all those pictures to my devices. Like, y'all, they're right here in my photos. Turn airplane mode off. I don't like to get calls while I'm preaching. It's usually my kids. What you doing? I mean, they're right there, y'all. I'm not lying to you. There's that one. What does that got to do with anything? Y'all, she's leaving in a couple months. It's hard to believe. Somebody said you blink your eyes and boom, and so it is. Seems like you're a kid forever, doesn't it? When you're a kid, but when you have kids. Y'all, sometimes I sit in my office and I just go through these pictures. I pray for her and I just look at them and I just adore her. I'm an imperfect father. I'm a mess, this man. If I love my daughter that much, I don't think about anything bad that happened. I don't go, well, but there was that one time when she was 11. That's not what I do. I just look at her and I'm like, I love her so much. If I, as an imperfect father, and Scripture often says those exact words, am that way, if we're that way, how much more is our Heavenly Father that way? How much more are His thoughts precious about you, daughters of God? Listen, you are daughters of God. You are daughters of the King. You are special to Him. He loves you. He adores you. He admires you. Bob talked last week, he casts your sin as the east is, far as the east is from the west. That's not what he's thinking about. You're thinking about it. Other people might even remind you of it, but it's not what God thinks about you. Amen? Are you hearing me, church? This would change everything for you if you believed that God knows you more than anyone knows you, and God loves you more than anyone loves you. You are His daughter. You're His daughter. God's got an iPhone, man. 10. He's got the new one. I don't yet. He's looking at you. He adores you. He admires, and I know you, it's a little cheesy. If I'm that way, why do you think God's not that way? He made me as a father. He is the perfect father. He loves you more than anyone else loves you. You're okay. You're who He wants you to be. John, with all my... Yes, He knows all that. You're perfectly perfect to Him. I pray that encourages you moms especially today. I pray it encourages all the women of our church. And guys, kids, man, let's make the women in our lives feel that way. You're not going to get it perfect, neither am I. But let's work towards it. Doesn't mean we can't work on it, amen? We need to work on it.